Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O supremely auspicious, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, who are the supreme good. O most famous descendant and controller of the Yadu dynasty, O son of Vasudev, O most peaceful, let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. Purport. The word Param Kalyana is significant because Krishna, in any of his incarnations, appears in order to protect the sadhus. Paritranaya sadhunam. The sadhus, saintly persons or devotees, are always harassed by non-devotees. And Krishna appears in his incarnations to give them relief. This is his first concern. If we study the history of Krishna's life, we shall find that for most of his life, he predominantly engaged in killing demons one after another. Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O supremely auspicious, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, who are the supreme good. O most famous descendant and controller of the Yadu dynasty, O son of Vasudev, O most peaceful, let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. So first of all, I would like to thank this wonderful community for allowing me to come here. This is my first visit, and I'm very humbled, I'm very glad that all of you are doing what you are doing here. This really is a Tirtha, one of the important places of pilgrimage for all followers of Srila Prabhupada. I come from Chaupati, and some of you or all of you could be knowing Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Braj Bihari Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu. So what we do is we send the best first, so that when others follow, they also get the same kind of reception. So I don't think I'm an amazing devotee, and it's not going to be an amazing class. But I know I'm in front of amazing and I'm an amazing audience, that's for sure. So the story so far is, this is one of the most amazing stories where the benediction to see Krishna or the benediction to get Krishna's audience is given to a very, how do you put it? These two brothers who became the Yamalarjuna trees were not expecting that they could be seeing Krishna face to face. It's a typical story of somebody born in a very high family. So Kubera is one of the treasures of the demigods, fabulous wealth, untold wealth. And his sons, so obviously, as they say, spoiled young people, so much money, as they say, money to burn, and then you indulge in whatever kind of sense gratification material life offers you. So they are drinking, they are cavorting with young maidens, that too in the heavenly planets. And Narad Muni, Devarshi Narada, is passing through. And he sees them and he is filled with that kind of little bit of anger, little bit of angst, little bit of that feeling as to why these people should be doing what they are doing and how can I help them. And how does he help them? He curses them. It's something like you meet somebody in the streets and you give him a book and say, this is good for you. And now even in India, now you might be thinking in the West, if you ask someone, do you want spiritual life? They say, no. Do you want to be happy? Yes. Are you happy now? Many people would say, yes, I am. So similarly, just to make somebody accept the path of bhakti, it's very difficult. But here we find, Narad Muni doesn't take their permission that, could you allow me to introduce you to Krishna? Could you allow me to introduce you to the path of bhakti yoga? He simply curses them to become trees. So without their knowing, they are transferred to the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. The Bhagavatam doesn't say as to, does Narad Muni does this all the time? Not necessarily. But these two brothers who have become the two twin Yamalarjuna trees, that's a specific breed of, specific species of trees, variety of trees. And how does one know that there is a connection between Narad Muni and Lord Krishna? How do they work? Does Narad Muni know exactly this is what the Lord wants me to do? And the Lord also knows that, oh, this is what he's doing. He's cursing them to become trees. And then I come down as Krishna, then I have to place my mortar and then ram it through it and then that's how they will get released from that curse. The cooperation between Guru and Krishna is one of the fundamental mystic kind of experiences in spiritual life. One or two key verses Srila Prabhupada will always repeat. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite kathita yartha prakashante mahatmanah. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. For a sadhaka, for a transcendentalist, you have your guru and you have Krishna. And you are supposed to have the same faith. Now, of course, the subject of guru, there is a guru tattva, shiksha guru, you can have millions of them. Diksha guru, you are required to have just one. And it is Krishna who himself says, Acharyan mam vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit. You should see the Acharya as myself. So, Krishna himself becomes the guru. Not that guru is Krishna, but Krishna himself decides that I need to do something to help conditioned souls. The living entity on his part or her part is not really interested in Krishna. Like one hippie in California, Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing the importance of being serious in spiritual life. And he said, Swamiji, I have a question. Prabhupada said, yes. You said if you are not careful, then we risk becoming an animal in the next life, like a dog or a cat. And Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, I don't mind. Prabhupada said, you are my blessings. What can you do? So it is something like in the first three yugas, people are knowing that there is something called spiritual life. It's very difficult, by the way, in those first three yugas to actually come to the authentic path of Krishna consciousness. But people are serious. But in Kali Yuga, it's more like a lunatic asylum where, just like in a lunatic asylum, it's very difficult for the doctor to convince the patient that he or she needs some medicine. I don't know if you're aware, but at least I've seen in some cases in India, the doctor tells the patient, are you sick? He says, no. Are you? No, I was told that you have some problems. No, I have none. So how does one give, administer medicine to someone who thinks he is the doctor? Just like if we go to almost everybody we meet on the streets and say that, would you like to accept the path of bhakti? You say, no. So we say, okay, in today's times we can't force anything. But at the same time, if we say, do you want contentment? Do you want satisfaction? Do you want better prospects? Do you want to live eternally? They say, yeah, of course. While in the flight, I was just checking out what's available on the TV screen in front of me, and there were some audio books. And one book was called The Bullseye, How to Get What You Want in Life. Typical advice which is freely floating all over us in these times. But one thing struck me. The fellow was giving an example of darts. I think it's a popular game here. It's not so much in India. People play darts. So take the example of someone who is a non-expert, but he's interested in the game, and say it's about 20-30 feet away. And if you just keep on throwing darts, I think the bullseye gets 50 points, and then it is 40, 30, 20, 10, like that. Without any training, and if somebody is told that just keep on throwing, it will be many, many, many months before he becomes fully trained to hit the bullseye. So this particular business expert is recommending, first of all, if that's what your target is, you need to get the help of an expert. Without that, don't even attempt anything. So, When we say that we need guidance in spiritual life, we need someone like Prabhupada, we need these purports to understand, to navigate through the vicissitudes of life. The whole atmosphere outside is, you don't need guidance, you be your guru, you be your own teacher. But then I was just wondering, even for something as simple as throwing darts, you need an expert. And these experts outside, they also know that you need experts for everything in life. But when it comes to the goal of life, spiritual life, suddenly everybody is an expert. There is something like we know about a subject matter, or we don't know about a subject matter, and then we claim that we are experts. It is said that about climate change, everybody has an opinion. Some say it's happening, some say it's not happening. Politics, everybody has an opinion. Economics, everybody has an opinion. But if you say, are you an expert? Well, not exactly an expert, but I have an opinion. But when it comes to spiritual life, suddenly everybody is an expert. I feel that the soul is like this. I feel that such and such thing can be understood like that. So this is the original rebellion of the living entity. And we get a hint in the Bhagavad Gita. Ichha dvesha mutthena dvandva mohena bharata. Krishna explains, ichha, a desire, and dvesh, hatred. For what? So that you need to read between the lines, so to say. Ichha for sense gratification, and dvesh, hatred for surrender unto Krishna. Once one devotee was very nicely explaining, Krishna says, I give three things, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. If you analyze it from the material point of view, these three things are needed. You need knowledge, you need remembrance, and you need forgetfulness. Knowledge, for example, of how to enjoy this world. How did someone know that tobacco can be used for smoking? How could someone know that you could store data in silicon chips? Do you think that these are things which human beings can just discover themselves? There is such a pursuit of some kind of path, and finally the super soul says, all right, go ahead, do it. So we need to get knowledge from Krishna as a super soul. He gives that knowledge. So there is a knowledge part. Then smriti, jnana, vimohan. So knowledge, remembrance. Remembrance the super soul gives a living entity by reminding him, oh, this is one mountain you have not climbed yet. Oh, I have to do that. This is one ocean you haven't crossed. This is one forest you haven't explored. This is one thing which you haven't drunk or not eaten. Although, in so many lives, we have practically experienced everything what this world has to offer. But still, there is a desire. Oh, I haven't done it. Oh, I haven't done that. And if you want variety, these 14 worlds are filled with variety. So much to do, so much to explore. And that's what fascinates a materialistic's mind, that there is so much here to do. So knowledge comes unwillingly. The super soul is not happy in giving us material knowledge, but we asked for it. Then remembrance. And if these two, which are the mainstay of the material path, forgetfulness also has to be there. Can anyone guess what that forgetfulness would be? Sorry? I didn't hear. No, if there is material knowledge and remembrance of how to enjoy material things, I'm asking, what could be that forgetfulness? Our relationship with Krishna. We have to forget that we are His part and parcels. We have to forget that our happiness is only in serving Him. Now take the other side. By that rare occurrence of Guru's mercy, the living entity takes to the path of bhakti. So the knowledge part comes. And knowledge part here is the abhidheya part. Come for Mangalarti. Take my darshan. Simple things which Krishna says. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru. Think of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. I was so happy to read in these teachings of Queen Kunti. Although we have the Bhaktivedanta purports in the first canto, Prabhupada also gave a series of lectures on that. And one particular statement, he said, every time you offer pranams, every time you offer obeisances, every time you chant, every time you take darshan, I still check that, have I advanced from yesterday what I was? Am I a bit advanced today? And when you take rest, the answer is no. I don't think so. It seems like a long journey. Even if it could be a journey of 10,000 miles, Prabhupada is saying there, every time you offer pranam, it's like taking one step forward. Just one step. But at least you are one step ahead than what you were yesterday. And in this way, you slowly, slowly advance. So, the knowledge part as to, we want to become happy and we have decided to become happy with Krishna. That knowledge has to come from Krishna. And then the remembrance. What could be the remembrance now? Now that we are in the spiritual realm, what is the remembrance that Krishna has to give? You are my part and parcel. You are mine. There was never a time when we were separate. It was just in your mind that you didn't have any connection with me. And there are so many shastric references. Mameva amsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says the living entities are my part and parcels. We may not agree, we may agree, we may not agree, but he says, right, and sanatana. Without any beginning, without any end. So the knowledge to advance in bhakti comes from Krishna. The remembrance comes from Krishna. What could be the forgetfulness part here? What do we need to forget? The same thing that I had to enjoy some part of this material world. Oh, I didn't taste that. Oh, I didn't do this. Oh, I didn't visit that place. I didn't climb that mountain. I didn't row in that lake. I didn't climb that tree. It's done. I must have done all of this sometime. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki, Jai Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. So here, these two sons of Kubera, they are now liberated, purified, and it's like a pattern. Every time Krishna does some kind of pastime where someone is benedicted, out comes from that pure mind, pure glories of Krishna. When I used to read the Bhagavatam for the first time, maybe about 20 years ago, I was thinking, why everybody is saying the same thing again and again? Oh, you are most pure. Oh, you are most good. You always protect your devotees. You are the original personality of Godhead. You are beyond matter. And I was discussing with a senior devotee and he said, look, this is the kind of resentment we have in our heart. Why is Krishna glorified so much? Why everybody is glorifying him? So what do we do? What do we do with this glorification? Our false ego wants us to be in that place where Krishna is glorified. Glorify we must, by choice or by force. Many years ago, I was at Mumbai's main railway station and I was told to receive one guest coming from Pune. It was a short 3.5 hour train ride. And next to me were two employees of a hotel. And they were discussing as to who is the guest they are supposed to receive that particular morning. And it seems like he was a usual, regular guest at that hotel. And they were speaking in Hindi, but they were using such rough language. Oh, and it was crowded, so I could exactly hear what they were saying. That this man is such and such, oh, he's such a pain in the, and he's like this. And suddenly the train came, and within 2 or 3 minutes, we could see this person coming. And they were like, oh, welcome, sir, welcome, welcome. And one of them took this luggage, and they were saying, so nice to see you, so nice to see you. And you're like, all right. Now, what's reality? The previous thoughts they had about this person, was it real? Or suddenly when they see him and they are welcoming him and they are offering him all kinds of praises, is that real? The fact of the matter is, the living entity doesn't want anyone to be praised except himself or herself. That's what rebellion means. And that's what is in the heart of a conditioned living entity. The very first time Prabhupada's books were printed in Japan, it's there in the Lilamrit, Dai Nippon Press, a very big press at that time. It may be still existing. So 8 or 10 employees came to meet Prabhupada along with the main boss. And in Japan, it's the tradition that whenever you meet someone, you give your card. So everybody gave Prabhupada their visiting card. It's a whole stack of cards. And the final marketing representative, he was there to finish the negotiations. And Prabhupada was very expert. If it is a photographer, press reporter, anyone, Prabhupada would always take the opportunity to ask them, what's the goal of your life? Who are you? Where are you going? And Prabhupada started talking to him about spirituality. We are not this body, we are the soul. And then he asked him, what's the goal of your life? So he took out his card, collected all the cards, and put his card on the top. Very simple. I want to be the boss here. Nothing less than the boss. So in so many ways, we express our rebellion. I'm not saying we should not be ambitious. That's a whole different discussion, that whether we should have any ambition in life. Of course we should. But here we are discussing the mood of these characters in Srimad Bhagavatam. And what do they teach us? So, just to recapitulate, and then we can have some questions if you have any, or some discussion or comments. Manigriva and Nalakubera are sons of one of the most powerful demigods, fabulously rich, doing their enjoyment as if this is the goal of their life. In comes Narad Muni, seeing them in that condition, curses them to become trees, and they become. But because of Narad Muni's benevolence, they take birth as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And we didn't have much time to discuss the whole pastime. You already know the background story. Krishna, being very mischievous, is tied to a mortar. And then he's a baby. He's just crawling in the courtyard. And slowly, slowly crawls, come out of the courtyard. He sees these two trees. He remembers the curse of Narad Muni. And being a small child, he can easily pass through the gap between the trees. But the mortar is stuck. And then he gives a tug. The trees come crashing down. And there are some boys, Brajavasi boys, who are playing in the space nearby. And they see these two trees crashing and two effulgent personalities coming out. And what we heard today, text 36, is that pure mind of a pure soul praising Krishna. I was told in one discussion with a devotee that just like if I have some bit of pain in my left shoulder, and if I use my right hand to just slowly massage it and I say, okay, now it's feeling good. It's quite natural, isn't it? My body, this is my body, this is my limb, and my limb is massaging another limb. There is no selfishness here. It's just natural. Come to think of it, similarly, offering prayers to Krishna, offering bhoga to Krishna, dancing in front of him, chanting, giving our life, it's as natural as that. From Krishna's point of view, it makes complete sense. You are my part, and if you serve me, what's the big deal? What's so unnatural about it? But there is this material potency, the illusory potency. And she creates this whole phenomenal world. Phenomenal in meaning made up of material elements. And this is the place available for all of those who don't want any connection with Krishna. That also is his mercy. He creates this fling, this space, and he says, okay, you go and experiment with this choice of yours. Whether you will be happy alone, whether you will be happy, we are not exactly alone, but whether you will be happy without me being so present in your life all the time. And those fortunate ones who understand that it's not possible. It's simply not possible. Because what I'm doing is, in this material space of knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, knowledge of how to enjoy material things, forgetfulness of who essentially Krishna is, and again and again trying to remind myself that I need sense gratification, material sense gratification. I am standing in a corner over here, but my desires are all about that spiritual realm. Just to close, all the spiritual, the fairy tales which I read as a child, the prince marries the princess, and then what happens? They live happily ever after. Just three words: to live and to be happy and ever after. Nobody lives here ever, forever. Nobody is happy forever. And the Vedanta Sutra says, Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is ever, Chit is knowledge, and Ananda is happy. So in every aspect of material life, we are searching for Satchidananda, Satchidananda, Satchidananda somewhere. So we'll stop here. We have 5 minutes for any questions, any comments, corrections, if any.